Good morning. And I know it's a joyful time, and I just couldn't wait to get up here and give praise to the Lord. Because 9 months ago today, around this time, I was the last one to leave Children's Church. And they had come. The boats had come, and Terry had left with his parents. And I wanted to wait because Noemi is our youngest grandbaby, and I wanted to wait with Jennifer with the three babies and Kirby. And they had gotten on in the boat, and I came down crying. And I looked at the doors, and I told Kirby, and the water was there. We were in the waters, and I said, Kirby, last week we were in there praising the Lord. And I said, what is going on? And he said, Mom, the pews are even floating in there. And I said, I don't even want to see it. And that moment, I really thought, this is it. We're leaving, and I didn't know what the future held. I didn't know. Yesterday, as I was preparing for today, the Lord reminded me that I thought it ended. 9 months later, we're reborn. It's a miracle we are in this place, not only finished, but praising the Lord, glorifying Him, and that's what I'm standing here for this morning. I want to give Him all the glory, because some things in your life, I really feel this is prophetic, that there is things in your life that you think it's ended. I have no idea what's going to happen. I don't see the morning. I don't see the light. But the Lord says He is the God of restoration. He does. And someone, I had gone to the laundromat, and Karen, that's sitting right up here this morning, she was with me in the laundromat, and we were, I was like, just didn't know what's going on, you know, and I was using all the washing machines almost. And she was just encouraging me. But someone there told me, she said, just like Job, it's going to even be better. And look, I mean, everything is better. So I don't want to get, you know, I just want to praise the Lord. And to put one thing to rest, because so many of you have asked me in the last few months, it's been 8 months, we lived together with our kids and our grandchildren, for a meds mama, which means, okay, it's my turn now to say something. And it doesn't mean big mama. I don't like to hear that. It means grandmama. So for a meds mama, it was such a blessing. But I heard people over and over ask me this, so I'm going to answer to all of you. Yes, we have a bed. Yes, we have a bed. Because people were saying, why keep saying you're sleeping on the floor? And it was the most comfortable place I have ever slept, was on these mattresses from Walmart. And they were wonderful. But to fix them and to get down and up every day, and I'll tell them myself, a few days ago, I fell out of bed on my knees. Nothing happened to me, but in the night, I would always just, you know, just crawl out of bed or whatever. And Terry said, did you just fall out? And I was like, yes, I'm on my knees. So we're getting used to it. So anyways, I just wanted to start with those things. And I give the glory to the Lord that I have the privilege to stand here. And I know we have wiser moms and older moms and moms with more experience to be up here. But I really believe the Lord gave me a word for this morning. So I'm going to start with John chapter 6. Verse 3. And this amazed me because this is one of my favorite stories when I go to speak in Lebanon or in Nepal, in different places that we went, and they would give me opportunity with the children. This is one of my favorite stories. But I saw something new this week. And one of the things I realized that four of the Gospels have the story where Jesus fed the multitudes. But only one, and that is John, that mentions that it was a lad, a boy, that had the five loaves and the two fishes. So let's read it. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. One of his disciples, Andrew Simon, Peter's brother, said to him, I love that the Lord is so detailed. He knows your name. He knows what's in your heart. He knows every situation. He is a detailed God. And our word of God that the Lord has given in our hands shows it, how detailed he is. There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many? Then Jesus said, make the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. And the story goes to verse 13, where he fed the 5,000. But in this story, we don't hear the boy's name, but we know there's a boy there. And so at the same time, we don't hear about the mom who prepared the lunch for that boy. How many of you have made lunches for your children day after day and day after day? And I mean, in high school, I know Benjamin's baccalaureate, we were there that a morning where the teachers were saying things about them. And one of the stories they had was about his lunch. And I prepared their lunches, and Miss Patty, you know, Brenda Iverson's sister-in-law, was the lady that worked in the cafeteria, and she made the best lunches for the kids. But my kids wanted me to make their lunches exactly like they wanted it. And I would even count their grapes so that none of them would tell me he had more and she had more and he had more. So I did that. I counted the grapes. So, but, you know, and here is a child or a lad, which is a young boy, and he had his lunch, but there was a mom there. And the message this morning is, what are you putting in your child's hands? What are you putting in your child's or grandchild's or that person that looks to you for their needs? What are you putting in their hands? Not so much in the physical, but in the spiritual. Now, the second story I wanted to get that was in Exodus chapter 4 and verse 2. So the Lord said to him, which is Moses, what is that in your hand? And Moses said, a rod. And then in verse 17, and you shall take this rod, the Lord said, in your hand, with which you shall do the signs. So I see something here. I see that what we have in our hands is what we are giving to others, what the Lord is using for others, or what you have in your hand, you're putting into your child's hands. Just like Terry gave that example, and I thought that was perfect, because Noemi had never had a stick in her hands. And then she sat there because every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, when they come for worship practice, their 3 children sit there and they watch them the whole hour. So they're learning more than we could teach them in a classroom. Sometimes it's like what they're learning from you. But today, really think about it. And some of you are probably saying, well, I don't know what's in my hand. Well, if you have Jesus and you have the Lord in your life, the things that we have in our hands are what is in our hearts. It's connected. It has the fruits of the Spirit. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Well, let's read it from Galatians 5, 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. And, you know, each one of these things, and we've spoken about these things before, It's like constantly the Lord is working these things in our lives. Constantly. Because, yeah, I'll tell on Terry again. Because he has done that all year, so this is my opportunity. Yes. So yesterday we were invited to our friend's house for their children's graduations. And I think I waited on Terry for almost 2 hours. I'm talking about I knew he was in and out of the house, but I was ready almost 2 hours. And about an hour and 40 minutes, I was in the kitchen and I was talking with the Lord, you know, because that's where I go and I get frustrated. And, you know, and that is the best thing. Do not go to your phone and call someone because they're just going to put more oil in your fire. They're not going to help you unless you really have such a godly mother that will say, just sit and relax and, you know, whatever. But I went to the Lord and I said, okay, Lord, is 1 hour and 40 minutes enough patience? So is it time for me now to start complaining or saying, you know, some little mean things? But the Lord didn't allow me, and I thought, I was standing there, and I thought, wow, what a great example. You know, that means if you don't have any battles, like my dad would say, there would be no victories. If you didn't have any problems, then you wouldn't see how much you're growing in a situation. So if you didn't, your patience was never tested, how can you tell me you're a patient person? Or if your gentleness was never tested. I remember one time, you know, I was correcting Jennifer and she was, we were working on math and Terry was better at that with just such patience with her and she was younger and so I was just getting very frustrated and the phone rang and I went to the phone and I was like, hello. And I was very sweet and when I hung up, Jennifer said, Mom, you were speaking so meanly to me and you were so sweet to that person on the phone. And I said, because they were sweet to me. And you know, sometimes our children see exactly who we are. And it's like, what fruit are you putting in their hands? What fruit are you walking with? Is it love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness? And these fruits are being, the fruit is being every day abiding in the Lord, because John 15:5, I love this, and it says, he said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. So I want you to know that you cannot say, I don't have anything in my hand to give, because we all have something. And if you have the Lord, you do have a lot to give your children. Yes, I love God's word, but it wasn't something I was born with. My mom, my dad, my grandparents, they constantly put God's word in our hands. Constantly. So that's what I learned to do with our children, with Terry. We constantly, and I went, when we were just rescuing things from our house and walking back and forth during the flood, I had grabbed different things and I was carrying them and the water was rising and thank the Lord I didn't know what was in the waters because I kept walking back and forth and I never saw anything except rainwater. So, you know, I just was fine. But one of the trips, I was up there in children's church and Benjamin came running and he said, Mom, I got the Bible. And it was the Bible that we had read for 16 years or almost 17 years every morning, and we would sit at the chair. But the first, I opened it the other day. It's on our table now, in our coffee table. I opened it. It said March 87, Genesis chapter 1. Do you know how old Jennifer was then? 1 month old. And we started it. Benjamin joined us while we were still in Genesis, close to Exodus. Because I didn't keep her there and read for hours and hours. You know, you have to use wisdom with a one-month-old, two-month-old, three-month-old. And so, but I would read, because my mom taught me that. And she would say, just read to her a verse a day. Just read to her two verses a day. You can do it. And so I would read that and I would mark it. And then you see the handwriting changing because they would mark it. Jennifer and Benjamin, they would mark it that today, this is what we're reading. Today, this is what. And every morning before they went to school, it took 5 minutes to read the word, to pray together, sing a song, and then go. Yeah, we used our piano a lot. And so it was just the Lord that reminded me of that to encourage you, you know, to read to your children. We do other things with them. We go to the movies. We do fun things with them too. Yes, but the word is the best thing you're going to put in their hands. And you know, sometimes people that say to me, you know, I have nothing to give, or I have enough of my own, that, and I'm talking to people too, to give others what we have, because just in August, I mean, Karen came up to me, we were still in children's church for church, and she said, it was 2 weeks after the flood, I think, and she said, are we going to Nepal? And I was like, yes, we're going to Nepal. And I said yes to her before even thinking about it, because I knew we had bought the tickets, and that was 2 weeks after the flood that we're talking, and Benjamin said, yes, Mom, we're going. California on the phone was telling me, you need to come over here. We need to take care of you guys. Why are you going to Nepal? But it was the best thing, because when we got there, and so many days walking in the rain, where people were everywhere, just walking in the rain. The first church we arrived, the meeting, we were soaking wet because they didn't tell us that we were walking, first of all. I'd asked them, how long to the church? And he said, 15, 20 minutes walking. So at that moment, I'm thinking, okay, you know, and then it started raining and no one's stopping to get us umbrellas or anything. So we arrived soaking wet. But some places where we walked through, the smells, just the waters of the river and everything, it was just like here. We had just gone from here. And the Lord reminded me, you know, for a few months or for a few whatever, you don't even know what's going to happen. We didn't know at that time it was going to take 8-9 months. But it was like these people live like this. And in the church, it was amazing. I almost called Terry to say, we don't need chairs in the church. Because we walked in, everybody was on the floor. And so you just sat on the floor with them, and that's how they worship the Lord. They don't have chairs. And I said, don't worry, the pews are gone. We can still, you know, sit on the floor. How would you like that this morning? But, you know, we're blessed. We're blessed. And that's why when you don't think you have anything to give, you still have so much to give. And be reminded of that. Be reminded, because the Lord has done so much in your life. All you have to do is remember what He has done. And He says, like Psalmist, I will praise you all day long. With my lips, I will sing praises to the Lord. And that's what I want you to get so encouraged today, that you have so much to give, but be careful what you're giving to your children. Because they are listening, they are watching, and I'm going to tell them Jennifer again. I don't know where she is, but maybe she's not in here. But we were Sunday nights, if we didn't make it to church, the kids and I, because we used to have Sunday night service, I would do devotions with them at home and teach them the verses. And so we had learned, be kind and compassionate to one another from Romans. And so a few days later, we were driving in the car, and Terry and I were raising our voices. We were discussing gently and sweetly, you know, with our voices raising, and they were in the car seats. She must have been not even 4 years old. She was, I think, 3 and a half. And she kept saying, Mama. And I kept saying, just a minute, Jennifer. Let Mommy and Daddy finish what we're talking, you know. And she kept saying, Mama. And finally I said, what is it, Jennifer? And she said, be kind and compassionate to one another. So another point is, what you're putting in their hands, they're going to give it to you. They're going to give it back to you. So what do you want them to give you or others is what you put in their hands. And that was a lesson that, you know what, not only are they listening, but they're learning They are learning, and they're going to walk in them. Our children are not perfect. None of us are perfect. I told someone a few weeks ago, if we're perfect, that means the Lord's taking us home. That means we are perfect because He is perfecting us. He wants us to be perfect, but we are working towards that. So they are not perfect, but do they love the Lord? Yes. Do they love His word? Yes. And another thing is to pray with them, put prayer in their hands, because that's the weapon they're going to use all the time. The Lord said, pray constantly, pray all the time, because you never know what the enemy is planning. He is constantly walking around to see who he can devour. I have a friend in Australia, and they're going through very deep waters. And the other day, I was just getting out of the car when she texted me, can you talk now? Because it's 15 hours ahead there. So it was morning there, and it was almost night here. And so I was like, yes. And we talked, I think, for 40 minutes. If you ever went to Walgreens, you would see me out there just, you know, back and forth in the aisles of Walgreens just talking to her. But deep, deep waters. And we came to the conclusion that prayer is powerful. I can't remember. Somebody told me this morning an answer to prayer. And I said, yeah, prayer is powerful. If you get that weapon in your hand, give it to your children. Let them know how powerful prayer is. And pray. Pray about everything. Pray about everything that is important. Go to prayer first. So some of the things that we can pass on to them. And I wanted to make sure that you get the bookmarks this morning. My brother printed them, Danny, in California. And on one side, it's Armenian, because I love the way he prints them, and I can take them with me whenever I go to different places in Armenian, too. But the verse there, yes, today is Mother's Day. And I know it's a wonderful day because it makes people realize that, hey, we need to appreciate this, what's going on. Moms doing what moms love to do best is taking care of everybody else. And sometimes you feel like you're in the battlefield and you're in the middle. So you're between your son and the daddy, and you're in between the daughter and the father, and the son and the brother and the sister and everybody. And you feel like you're in the middle, but God has put you there for a purpose. Because you can handle it. You can handle it. But the verse there, and it says, God is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love. Because we have to remember, yes, today they will say thank you. But there will be so many times that you will not get the thank you. Or, oh, thanks for remembering. Oh, yes, Mom, thank you for that. Or whatever. And it doesn't matter. Because His eyes are on you, and He can see, He knows, He sees, and He rewards. That is absolutely truth from the Bible. And He says, the one who made the eyes, will he not see? And the one who made the ears, will he not hear? It even says, sometimes the Holy Spirit helps us because we don't even know what to say. We groan and we cry and we sob, but the Lord hears every word and every groan, everything that you've cried to the Lord. He will reward you. He is the rewarder. And so to just finish up with the three most favorite messages that my dad would preach. I just felt like, Daddy went to be with the Lord in December, and it was just one of those days that you never, ever want to face in your life. And He'll come, but we have, like the song we sang today, He is alive. He's taken out every fear. And the day I came home, my brother had called me about Daddy going to heaven. And I was driving on Frenchtown Road. I pulled over, and he told me. So I was just sobbing. And the first piercing verse in my heart, it was like the Lord just sent it down from heaven, was, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. So if it's his plan, it's the best. You can trust him with every plan he has. But you have to receive his plan. And I said, yes, Lord, your plans are the best. I drove home and I told Danny, Paul, I had said, Paul, call Terry. He's at the church. So he called him and he was on his way. But I got home and I told Kirby and Alyssa was in the kitchen and we were all just crying and Ryland came running out of the room. And I'm going to tell you how what you're passing on to your children, like in Deuteronomy, it says, pass it on to your children and your grandchildren, and it's going to go on. Because when you're sitting, when you're standing to talk about these things. And so Ryland came running out, and he said, Mitz Mama. He said, I heard Mitz Baba went to heaven. And I'm so excited for him. And I'm standing there, you know, just like crying. And I looked at him and I said, oh, Ryland. And I was like, oh, you know, you need to show yourself like a little more, you know, happy for, you know. And then he said, Mitz Mama. And he did this. So I don't know where he gets his movements with his hands. He said, Mitz Mama, Philippians 4:7. And I said, Ryland, what does Philippians 4:7 say? And he said, and the peace of God. That's all he said. And I was like, oh my goodness, you know, it's just like, so I hugged him and I was like, oh, Ryland, you know, Miss Mama needed to hear that. And then he said, and Miss Mama, fear is of the devil. You want to be corrected? Yes. Teach your children and your grandchildren, and they will come back and teach it back to you. And it's, you know, it's a blessing to sit and see our daughter and son serving the Lord. And we give him the glory. Yesterday, Mary Pat's mother-in-law, she was saying something. She said, you know, their son graduated from architecture at LSU, and it was like a big, big hard, difficult school to finish. And then their daughter, Anne Marie, graduated from high school. And she said, you know, the kids, yes, they did great. But it's these parents that put their hands on their children and day in and day out and day in and day out. And you know what? Mothers, pat yourself on the back right now and say, good job. Because your children, when they're getting awards or when people are saying, oh, you know what, I was blessed this morning and whatever, it's all glory to him that he has helped us to stay persistent and consistent. And some things, yes, you teach them to be polite and kind to people. Yes, you teach them to study. Yes, you teach them to tie their shoes, even though Jennifer still today says it was her friend in K-4 that taught her how to tie her shoelaces. But, you know, some of those things are important. But more than that, teach them to pray, teach them to read God's word, and teach them to love people. That is one thing I learned from my mom and mostly my dad. Because we would take them everywhere around the world. And Terry would say, yes, we're taking them. It was more difficult to take them because you had to take all these schoolwork with you. And you had to do all these, you know, things wherever people were like having fun. You're sitting there doing homework and trying to with the kids. And they had to be dressed because we were in meetings all the time. And you know, life has changed. Our children don't dress like us. And they don't care, you know, what you tell them about clothes anymore. It's like, dress them, put the bows on when they're young, you know, because they're not going to wear those things when they're older. Believe me. So it was a struggle, but we took them because in the meetings they learned. And one of the messages that Daddy preached about was Peter's fish. When Jesus told Peter, you know, they had asked for the taxes, and he said, Peter, go to the sea, throw your hook, and you will catch a fish, the first fish that comes out. Peter was a fisherman, so he had to know which one, because he probably could catch many. Take that fish out, open the mouth. Billy, have you ever caught a fish with my money in the mouth? No. That was a miracle. He said a fish with money, a coin in the mouth, would hook up on the hook. I have no idea about fishing, but I can imagine, you know. And so Daddy would say in his messages that he knows every fish in the sea, and he knows you. He knows what's in you. He sees you. He sees the direction the fish goes, and he knows what you need. And so today, just know that he knows you, mom, grandmother, daughter, friend, anybody that's here hearing my voice. God knows who you are personally, and he loves you so much that he knows what's in you, and he wants to put his love in you. And that is the message of the fish. The second message that Daddy always preached about, and Terry mentioned that a few weeks ago, was the hands of Jesus. This boy that had the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, yes, he had a great idea. He wanted to give it, and it might have fed Simon Peter, Andrew, James, and Jesus. Maybe, if they shared maybe the fish half and half and the bread or whatever. But he put it in the hands of Jesus. The hands of Jesus, if it's on your children, if you ask for, you know, those mothers that brought their children to Jesus, they wanted the hands of Jesus to touch their children. Pray for that. Pray, Lord, let your hands be on me and let your hands be on my children. And pray that, because his hands will bring healing. His hands will bring restoration. His hands can do more than you can do in years and years and years of therapy. And I believe in therapy. I believe in doctors. In fact, one of my closest friends is a doctor. So I believe in doctors and medicine. But sometimes all they need is the hand of Jesus, the healing hands of Jesus. And just a quick story that I remembered, and I was like, I need to remember that, because years ago we were in Siberia. And in Siberia, I mean, Terry loved Siberia. And I was just watching our kids everywhere we went. I wanted to make sure they were okay, because they had taken friends with them. And my nephew was there. And they were just, you know, kids can be kids. And I just didn't feel comfortable in the country for some reason. And on that Sunday morning, we all came. And the restaurants were very interesting. You would have the menu, and you would ask for things. And they would say, oh, we don't have that anymore. We only have 1 chicken left, or we only have 1 of this and 1 of that. And you're like, okay, then can I have this? Oh, no, we're finished with that. And so, okay, can we have? So that morning we were having breakfast. It was our last morning, and we were going to go to the church and have communion. Daddy was going to serve communion, and then that was it. That's our last morning. And Jennifer was at another table. And we were finishing up our breakfast, and she brought me her apple. And she said, Mom, I couldn't eat this, so do you want it? And I was like, oh, yeah, you know, and so I took it. But the minute I put the apple in my mouth, I knew something was wrong, but I swallowed it. It was like too quick, and I swallowed it, and I was like, oh, that was not a good taste. And she would have eaten that. So we got ready for church. We went to church, and during the break, I was deathly sick. And she was the only one with me outside. Everybody had gone back into the meeting place, and I was out there, and Jennifer was with me. And I said, Jennifer, I think I'm going to die. But I didn't want to go to the hotel by myself. I didn't want to get Terry out of the meeting, because they were having communion. And my daughter, she was 15 or 16 years old at the time, she hugged me, and she started praying. She said, Lord, touch my mom. And I really thought I was going to die right there. I was feeling so sick, and I was getting sick, and weak, thought I was going to die. And then after she prayed, I felt a little more stronger, but I wanted to go into the church and die there, because I wanted Terry there. I didn't want to die outside with just my daughter. So I'm being honest with you. So I walk in. She comes with me. I sit by Terry, and I'm like, I really feel bad. I'm going to really, I need to go. And And then Daddy called us up. He said, the group that's come with me, come up here to serve communion. Without thinking, I'm so used to Daddy saying, come up, that I got up and I went up there. And I mean, that moment, I walked up and all the communion cups were ready and we were going to take them, turn around and serve them in that instant. As I turned around, I was a new person. It was the Lord had touched me, but it was the prayers of my daughter that really, at times when you need it most, your daughters will come up and pray for you just like you've prayed for her. And so the Lord touched me, and God, his hands are amazing. When you pray, Lord, touch me. Let your hand be upon me. And many of us can testify of his healing. Just amazing. You have to remember that. And then the third message that I love the best, and I'm going to finish with that, is the Samaritan. The good Samaritan, we say, but he was just the Samaritan. And Jesus said, on that day, a man was walking from Jericho to Jerusalem. From Jericho to Jerusalem, or the other way around. Jerusalem to Jericho. And the robbers came and they robbed him. They left him for almost dead. A priest goes by. A Levite goes by. And the word is very clear. They don't just go by and say, well, you know what, let me go get some help and come back. But they go on the other side. They cross over and go away. People that were supposed to be helping. The priest was the one, that's his work. But the three points that Dad would always bring up, and I want to finish with that, is the first one is the thieves were saying, what's yours is mine. Whatever you have. I mean, we read about people committing awful things for a phone or for shoes or for unimportant things, taking people's lives. Because they're saying, what's yours is mine. I want to have what you have, whatever you have. And then the second, the priest and the Levite were saying, what's mine is mine. This is my time. This is my money. I'm busy right now because I have lots of things to do. And let's examine ourselves. How many times do we put what is more important to us in our own lives before what's the Lord's leading us, pulling us to do? And that's when you say, mine, what's mine is mine. You know, you take care of yourself. But the Samaritan, and Jesus said, I want you to do this. What's mine is yours. And that's what I when I look at mothers today, that's what I see. That they're saying, yeah, it's my time, but you need me? Yes. Mine is yours. Whatever you need is yours. And so we want to live like that. And I know that so many times we are the ones that really feel like we didn't do a good job or we failed there. And so many times we come to the Lord and we ask forgiveness and he forgives. If we confess, he's faithful and just to forgive us. Everything you confess to the Lord, forgiven, forgotten, you're the one that needs to forgive yourself. And sometimes you're the one that needs to put it out of your mind and say, Lord, I've given that to you. And tell the devil, be quiet or just get out of here. You know, just get out of here because he will torment you if you let him. But what's mine is yours. Let's live like that. And I know I'm preaching to the choir, as they say, because as moms, we have been through that. But let's do more. Let's really be active in putting things in our children's, grandchildren's, and even if they're grown up now in their way or whatever, you still can plant in their life. You still can do things to constantly plant love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness. And with the Lord's help, we can do that. There's two prayers. These are my favorite verses. In fact, my grandfather wrote one 32 years ago. And I wanted to pray that over all the women in our church. So I want all the women to stand up. And I'm going to pray Hebrews 13, 21 over you. And so it says, the Lord make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. And the second one is from 1 Corinthians 15:58. And I want to pray this. Therefore, my beloved brethren and sisters, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Father, I thank you this morning. I thank you, Lord, that you are the one that rewards us. You are the one that encourages us. You are the God of comfort. Where there is need of comfort, Lord, today, you bring your comfort. Where there is need of wisdom, you give us wisdom. When there is need of anything that we need, Lord, that we're asking you for answers, you give us the answers. And so, Lord, I pray this morning that every woman and daughter and mother and grandmother and great-grandmother that is here, Lord, that you will put your hands of healing over them this morning. And whatever needs to be done, you know exactly what they need, Lord. And I pray for everyone else, Lord, because you are our everything. We just don't say that, Lord, but you provide every need. You walk with us through waters. You walk through storms with us because your promise is, Lord, you will never leave us nor forsake us. And you have never failed. I thank you for who you are, Lord, this morning. In Jesus, your precious name we pray. Amen.